So there were these two children, Peter and Linda. They were talking about the averages of being 100 with their IQs. Linda had an IQ of 101 and Peter had an IQ of 98. With this information given, they were saying that Linda is above average and Peter is below. So they're saying that Peter isn't as smart as Linda, which was, it made sense, but it was also confusing because then they began to talk about this range in which you cannot say, oh, this person is dumber or smarter because they're one up or one below the average, because that's not the actual true average. They were saying that there's this difference, I think it was like a difference of 3 or so. So like the actual range of it was 98 to 104 or something like that. It was kind of complicated to understand and grasp at first. I had to go back and reread it a couple times because I wasn't sure how to actually process the information. I was trying to relate it to real life situations, as in things that we as teenagers been through. So like taking the SATs, for instance, trying to relate it to the score being low as 600 and to the score being high as, what, 24? But it was such a large difference compared to, like, the 98 and the 104. I wasn't, like, really gathering information. I wasn't processing it right. So
with that being said, also the book talked about the difference between probable error and standard error. And so they use an example of, it's on page 56, just talking about, it was like a fence line that this guy was walking on, and they use a number 3, and mm-hmm. so they talked about how he could be
plus or minus three
mm-hmm. Yards away, but we don't know for sure
Which plus or minus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he said, basically the probable error is, it measures the error in the measurement based on how much off your measurement is. So again, whether you're 3 yards below or if you're 3 yards above. That was it.
And I related to that. I think everybody can relate to that a little bit. I was getting fitted for my gown from when we were doing cap and gown fittings, and I didn't know if I was wearing heels or flats. So she said, I'll give you enough room so you can wear 2-inch heels or flats.
Right.
So I was like, plus or minus 2 is when I got, you know,
yeah.
is when I can use that in a real life situation.
Yeah, that happened to me too. I didn't know if I was wearing heels. So she just said, well, you know, we'll just add
like,
some.
Yep.
You know,
just
so it won't be too short
or too long.
They were also talking about within this chapter cigarettes. This whole chapter to me was kind of confusing, but they were talking about Old Gold cigarette people
mm-hmm.
compared to other cigarette companies or brands, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to, I guess, find out which one was the best. And it was referring to advertisements because Old Gold was very big on advertising that their cigarette was better than other cigarettes, like it was more safer, whatnot. And the case was that they used less of a dangerous product within their cigarette to make it, I guess, more better for you. But at the end of the day, it was still bad. So it was kind of like you can kind of relate it to energy drinks in a way. So maybe like
mm-hmm.
Red Bull, Monsters, all those type of drinks, and how they may say this one is better for you, but they all have these like
awful ingredients
that aren't really beneficial regardless of if they have less of it or not. So
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like cigarettes.
Okay.
Now chapter 5, the G Whiz graph. So I thought it was interesting to see the imagery for this chapter, how you could see how you can clearly see what's happening with the graph when they showed the man's face.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I really felt like the images, it made the chapter, like, they made sense, they fit into the chapter, they, like, if you didn't understand what you were reading, they showed you,
they helped
to see what was going on,
right.
And it made sense.
And especially on the two graphs on pages 62 and 63, when they have, it's the same graph, but they're scaled differently on the y-axis. So, for an example, on 62, they have they have it going by 2, so 18, 20, 22, 24. Whereas on 63, they have decimals, so 20, 20.2, 20.4, 20.6, yada, yada, yada. The first graph, though, it kind of looks linear, so just like a straight line.
Yeah. So you think everybody follows that same pattern?
Exactly. Whereas on the second graph, you can kind of see
the curves.
Like the curves in it. So yeah, that I thought that was interesting, and also the use of manipulation.
Yeah, because I feel like manipulation is always used in advertisements that we see today, whether it be in TV, magazines,
or an election, right? Or something like that. So
I feel like that made interesting.
And I think it's something that we've been seeing like our whole entire lives. So now that we get to see the tricks behind it, it's kind of interesting to see like how these people used their information to distort it for us.
Mm-hmm. And we can kind of base it off of our own assumptions. And what we assume to be true may not or may be true.
But we don't know.
But we just don't know. So I thought it was interesting. I liked this chapter because it gave me more of it. It gave me more insight on how, for an example, the polls work. And how whoever the final people are that calculate all the numbers, like what they do to get the final result, basically. So, you know, something new to learn.
I think it's interesting because now we can use those tricks for ourselves.
Right. Yeah.
That makes whether sense, it be like for personal uses or for school or for work.
So, but got it.
Also with that chapter, I felt like the images were really good. I felt like it made a lot of sense. And then I felt like chapter 6 also made a lot of sense too.
Chapter 6 is what?
Oh, so the one-dimensional picture. So chapter 6, it was talking about money, I think, like somebody making more than another person. And then
they used a money bag.
Yeah, they used a money bag.
Yeah, this is another chapter that the imagery really helps you.
Yeah, it really does.
But they explain how it doesn't help you at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like how it's very misleading and how it can like manipulate any type of situation. So they were talking about these two men. I think one was making a certain amount of money and then the other one was making
double.
They had twice as much.
Mm-hmm.
So they were using imagery to show this.
They were using the money bags. Yeah, next the money to bags. The
but the money bags were totally off because they were using a different dimension and just twice as much. They were using four times as much.
So they used the wrong ratio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still like it got the message across that that obviously the one man's making more money, but it didn't get the right ratio. So you're thinking that one man's making a whole ton more money
when it's really not that.
It's not as much as they're portraying.
Not as they're saying. So
again, it's the manipulation.
Yeah, basically. So like people who are really gullible and who are like always into TVs or magazines and say, oh, I could be making this much. Or even when you might be applying for a job and it says like, oh, we give you more than this company or whatever. It just tricks you in a way, which is, I guess, kind of crappy, but for us, we could use it into our advantage. So we know in the future, in case we see things like this.
Yeah. And in the book, they just used the, what is that, Rotundia versus the USA.
Oh, Rotunda?
Yeah. What did I say?
Rotundia.
Rotunda versus USA. And again, with the whole money thing, they say that the USA makes more money than Rotunda. But again, it's how just you the grab way it and scaling and all that other stuff. So I think chapter 5 and 6 were really, I think these were the best.
The most relatable for us.
So far. And it, you know, makes you look forward to what's to come in a later chapter. So exciting. Yep.
Well, I guess that's it. So until next time. And now we'll be going over to Mr. Miles' questions to our first podcast.
So regarding Mr. Miles' first comment, we looked at the article, and by the graphs we can tell that the size of the y-axis really does matter, because it'll make something like 35% and 39.6% look extraordinarily different than if you were just talking about the numbers.
Exactly. So looking at one of the graphs, the next graph was same data, different y-axis. Just as Helen said, the y-axis really does matter. In this graph, one graph went by 2%, by
0.002%.
And the graph beside it went up by 0.5% each time.
So you can really tell, because the one on the left looks like it's skewed to the left.
Yes.
So as you can tell, well, if you're looking at it, you should be looking at it. The one on the left looks like it's skewed to the left. And then when you look at a more, you know, even y-axis that somebody else would normally do, you can, it looks like it's straight across. That's because the numbers are only off by 0.00%.
Exactly. So it really does make a difference on how you place your graph and when you actually want to see information in a way.
So this article really 100% relates to pages 62 and 63, which is the picture that we talked about earlier on this podcast, the picture of the man's face on the graphs, how you can see the y-axis distorts it. It either shrinks it or drags it out.
Right. What else?
So further down on the same article, the one that drew our attention was the Florida enacted Stand Your Ground law.
We had
a lengthy discussion on which way the y-axis should be and how it's kind of confusing.
Yeah, we noticed that it was the zero was at the top and the 800 was at the bottom, and normally it would be the opposite of way around. But we came to the conclusion that the 800 wouldn't be on top because that means it would make it like it's way more crime than...
So Florida is misleading the viewer, trying to make it look like there's less crimes. Moving on, still on the same comment, but now we're looking at our own articles that we found. I found one that's talking about the federal spending as a share of the economy. And it's showing you... I'm just looking at the first graph. And it's kind of similar to one that we already talked about, where it's going by 1%. So if you did this by a scale of, let's say, 5%, the bars would look very similar. So they went really low in their increments, so that they could show you the differences, even though they're not really that different from each other.
I found an ad on false food advertising. So the first picture depicts Taco Bell, and it shows the advertisements of a delicious beef taco, lettuce, cheese, all that. And then you have a picture to the right of it, which is the actual taco that you would get within the store. And you just see a big, big difference. It doesn't look as full. You don't see as much meat. You don't see a lot of anything. It doesn't really look appealing to the eye. And you notice that this happens in a lot of stores, like a lot of fast food markets, like Burger King does it.
Jack in the Box, McDonald's. Yeah,
every place does things like this to catch viewers, to make them want to come in and buy their food. So it's not more on graphical scaling. It's more of just showing a misleading advertisement and what their food is actually providing.
Like, for example, Burger King makes their burgers look 2 times bigger than they actually are when they serve them to you.
Exactly, but it's still correct in their eyes because they're providing you with everything that's on the burger.
It's just not the same appeal. Like visual.
Right.
Okay, so now moving on to the next comment Mr. Miles left us, which includes 5 lengthy prompts that we have to respond to. The first one, choose one of the quotations inside of the front cover and discuss how it relates to the introduction.
So we chose the one by Artemis Ward. He stated, it ain't so much the things we don't know that get us in trouble, it's the things we know that ain't so.
We related that quote to the second paragraph on page 8, part of the introduction. So the paragraph says, so it is with much that you read and hear, averages and relationships and trends and graphs are not always what they seem. There may be more than meets the eye, and there may be a good deal less. So that directly, as you heard it, I'm sure you can hear the relation to the quote. It's basically just talking about how things may look one way, but they won't be that way. So the second prompt that Mr. Miles gave us said, put the second paragraph on page 18 of River Cannot into your own words.
So the paragraph is basically talking about stats and talking about how these statisticians and stuff take these numbers that are from real people and real sources, and then filter it all down to these little decimal point numbers that pretty much don't mean anything to us except for that they are numbers, and how they go through layer by layer and split up what it actually means and just try to make it so that it's more either appealing or somebody would buy their product or buy what they're selling.
So three is talking about which kind of average is the best average to use. Basically, I would say that the best average is mean. With mean, you're taking all of your data, then dividing it by the... You're taking all your data, adding it up, then dividing it by the total amount of data that you have. I feel with that, it gives you an exact average of what these two classes would be like, what these how you could compare their scores. If you do something like Mode, it's very sketchy. It's not as reliable in my opinion, because if you have two kids, if you have four or more kids that are failing the class with 49s or 50s, and everybody else has these random grades, that would mean that 50 or 49 is your average of the class, which is unfair because only four of those kids who have that average. Median is just taking the middle number, which doesn't really tell what the people who have higher scores, the people who have lower scores have. So I feel like the best option would have to be mean. Regarding question four, it's asking, explain why advertisers often rely on a very small sample or to substantiate their claims. I believe this is because with more samples, you have more variety, which means more difference. And basically, that means if you're looking for a certain average or a certain sample to show, you can't do that with more people because you're getting more opinions, you're getting more information, which means your information could be more spread out, which you may not want. So getting a concentrated amount of information allows you to focus on what you want to focus on and show what you want to show by saying these statistics something.
So this is in response to Mr. Miles' question regarding the advertisement. So I found a website and it had to do with the toothpaste brand Colgate, and what happened was there were dentists that came together and they were doing a survey, you know, talking about which toothpaste was better. And so Colgate just so happened to be the one that they chose. However, there was a survey that showed that it wasn't just Colgate. So they didn't just pick one brand of toothpaste. They picked multiple ones, but they decided to choose Colgate. Therefore, it was kind of like a false advertisement in a way, because the viewers and the audience, they didn't know that there were other choices of brands that were really used. Instead, they switched it around, so to speak, so that they can just advertise Colgate. So, for all that being said, the false advertisement, I believe people should really be careful about what they see on TV, because not everything is true. There's a lot that lies behind advertising something just so that it could be appealing to the viewer or to the audience or whoever may be watching the advertisement. So there's your answer to that question. All right. So to answer your question about on page 45, when it says hardly anybody is exactly normal in any way,
just as 100 tossed pennies will really come up exactly 50 heads and 50 tails. I think that means that if you have 100 pennies, you expect it to be 50-50. However, a lot of times it won't come up as that. You may get an off ratio, or maybe it could just be totally off. So in comparison to people, you may meet somebody who you may expect to be a certain way or act a certain way, but in reality, sometimes they're not what you expect. So you just have to go by off of what you have observed, just by, you know, meeting the person or building relationship with the person, same way as with the 100 pennies. You just have to go off by what you observe, which is tossing the pennies and to see what really comes up, but still having the expectation that you will expect that it'll be 50-50. So that's what I think that quote means.